Tonight, we talk to Gridstream Productions about doing internet radio in Anarchy Online. Plus, we wonder which world the PS3 Worldwide launch is occurring in. All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show week of September 10th, 2006. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this net.
It's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Catalarm kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwell back at Dragon Con 2005. I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
It's me. I'm home again. This is not as weird as last time because I'm actually live. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell, and a big hello to all of you who found our show from Dragon Con 2006, either if we met at the podcasting panels that were going on or if you picked up our flyer on one of the tables. I noticed that a lot of them were not there anymore when I would go back to the table. There'd be like one or two left. So if you found us through that, welcome, and I hope that you like what you hear and that you stick around. If you are listening to us live here on All Games Radio here on Sunday nights at 8 p.m., you can go to chat.allgames.com, and that will bring you into our chat room. We read comments from the chat room throughout the entire show, so you may hear your name heard on the air. Also, we take phone calls in two different ways. We have a Skype line, which is Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word, and our toll-free number is 1-866-880-0156. Those are not up right now. I'll probably be turning them on about 5 or 10 minutes. I usually just try to get through the opening of the show. If you are listening to us on the podcast, we love you too. You can leave us a voicemail on that Skype line so your voice can still be heard on the air, Bobby Blackwell Show, or you can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, and I may be reading your email on the air. As always, thanks to Kropotkin for providing the UK news segment that runs just before this show goes live. That's available as a podcast feed for those who cannot tune in live. His website, kropotkin.co.uk. That link and many others discussed tonight are on our website, BobbyBlackwolfShow.com. And as I said, I was at Dragon Con this past weekend. My first time actually spending the night at the con. Usually, I've been going to Dragon Con since like 1995. And not every year, but pretty much I think 95 was my first year. And I'd usually just go down for like the day. You know, and I'd, you know, take MARTA, which is our crappy train system here, and, you know, go down during the day and come home at night. And sometimes I'd go for like 2 or 3 days. Sometimes I'm only go for one day. It really depended on who was there that year and, you know, how long it took me to get through the dealer's hall. This year was the first year that I actually went all 4 days. It starts on Friday afternoon at like 1 o'clock is when my first the first panel that I attended was. And then I was there until Monday afternoon at 6 o'clock. That's when we finally left. And it is a very interesting experience. I mean, if you are into like science fiction or science or technology or comic books or anything like that at all, and you can get to Dragon Con, you really should. And you know, if you're into podcasts like this one, I'm not going to talk about podcasts for too long because I don't like talking about podcasting all that much, but you know, the podcasting track was a lot of fun. You know, the live edition of Michael and Evo's Winging It, which you can hear on their website. They're part of Farpoint Media. That was a blast, especially with the free beer, even though they didn't call it beer, but it was free beer. So, yeah, make plans. It's always on Labor Day weekend. Next year, the podcasting track will be bigger. There's a lot of gaming going on. There are PC games there. There was a PC game LAN. No internet, so you couldn't play World of Warcraft, but they had a lot of PC gaming tournaments going on there. So you can... you know, any type of gaming you can find there, and, you know, a lot of science fiction actors, a lot of celebrities are there. So it was a grand old time. And tonight we actually have an interview with DJ Tarek of Gridstream Productions. I said that wrong, sorry. They are another internet radio station, kind of like us, and they broadcast inside Anarchy Online, or they broadcast primarily for Anarchy Online, although you can get their stream without having Anarchy Online at all. We talked to them about how they started. And they were broadcasting live from the Dragon Con show floor all 3 days. So it was really interesting to see how they were doing that and how they interact with their You're just actually seeing their setup and seeing that I do some of the same stuff here with All Games. Next week, I'm going to go ahead and pimp this. We do have an interview with Josh Sawyer, who is one of the game developers, lead designers of Neverwinter Nights 2, because they were also there at Dragon Con. We also ask him what he thinks of the whole E3 issue, because, you know, they were there at Dragon Con, so I figured, you know, they had a interesting viewpoint on, you know, the differences between a consumer show like Dragon Con and something like E3. So that's next week. So tune in next week for that one. We do have a large chat room, and like I said, chat.allgames.com. And so I'll be reading comments, trying to sift through the intelligent from the not-so-intelligent comments. I do have some pictures on Flickr of the podcasting panel, if you want to see what we looked like. Just search for the tag DragonCon Podcast, which is all one word, and you'll find mine in there, along with all the others from the podcasting panel. And GK128 says that he pictures Black Wolf flyers like the used like Sideshow Bob stickers from the episode where he runs for mayor. I haven't seen that episode. I guess I lost some Greek geek cred right there. I know what you're talking about, but I haven't seen that one. And there were people that would like draw diagrams and stuff on the back of the flyers and stuff. There were 8 million flyers sitting on the table, so they used mine. But the first story that I do want to cover was one that was emailed to me by several people, because it was something we talked about 2 weeks ago, and this was a revelation that was made last week, so this is old news for most people. But, 2 weeks ago we reported that All Your Soccer belonged to Microsoft. And essentially what we had reported is that the Leipzig Game Conference out in Germany, Microsoft said, yes, both FIFA, which is EA Sports game, and then Pro Evolution, which is Konami's soccer game, that they were both 12-month exclusives. And that's what Microsoft had said, and we had run with that. Apparently, not so much. We had our main screen turn on, and apparently Konami moved zigged where Microsoft zagged. IGN has reported that it seems like there's a little confusion floating around the world about at least one of the announcements Microsoft made at the German Games Convention this week. In the press conference, Microsoft announced that Pro Evo and FIFA would only be available on the Xbox 360 for the next 12 months. So, given that this was on August 23rd is when they made this announcement, that would mean, you know, exclusively through August 23rd, 2007. Konami denied that. Konami said no. No, that's not the case. IGN interviewed Pro Evolution Soccer producer Shingo Takatsuka today, and he told us that the next-gen version of Pro Evolution Soccer 6 would be exclusive to the Xbox 360 through the end of the year, but not through 12 months. He confirmed that a PlayStation 3 version of the game was already being worked on and would most likely be released in spring or summer of next year, although no specific release date has been confirmed as of yet. And he also made it clear that the current-gen versions, like the PC, PlayStation 2, DS, and PSP, are all still coming out at the same time as the Xbox 360 version. Konami Japan issued a statement which is translated here, quote, "There are some articles or some statements which could lead to the misunderstanding at some websites and other sources stating that Konami's soccer game Pro Evolution Soccer 6 will be released as an exclusive Xbox 360 title. However, this is not true. Pro Evolution Soccer 6 is being developed for multiple platforms so that many consumers will be able to enjoy it," unquote. And according to what IGN has heard from EA, the FIFA deal seems to be similar. So, it might not be actually 12 months. It might be, till the end of the year, because there's no other consoles coming out in Europe that are next-gen until the end of the year. Oh, wait. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. And a 2K Sports fan, who's one of the people who emailed me about this, says Microsoft lied about it. That Microsoft lied about this. And I think it was more just a misunderstanding. It was probably translation error or something. And, you know, they say till the end of the year, and they probably went ahead and said for 12 months. Oh, well, you know, it would have been a great coup for Microsoft, but, I mean, I can see that soccer fans should be happy, especially if they are Sony fanboys, that they will still get their Pro Evolution Soccer whenever they get a PS3, which could be a while. Because, hey, Europe, you're not a part of the world. I hate to break it to you. But according to Sony, you are not the world. Their worldwide launch is still going on in November, but not for Europe. Sony Europe issued a press release saying that they would revise their launch date of the PlayStation 3 computer entertainment system in the PAL territories of Europe, Russia, Middle East, Africa, and Australia. and or they actually say Australasia in this press release. That's kind of weird. From November 17th, as previously announced, to maybe March 2007. Launch dates for Japan and North America will remain the same, which are the November 11th and November 17th, respectively. The revision of the launch date in the European territories is caused by the delay in the mass production schedule of the blue laser diode within the Sony group, thus affecting the timely procurement of key components to be utilized in the PlayStation 3. The previously announced PlayStation 3 shipment forecast of 6 million units globally within the fiscal year ending in 2007 is not changed. So Blu-ray screws Europe because Europe is not a part of the world. Yeah. Kropotkin, if you listen to his podcast, he has the death toll and the graveyard sound effects for like the first 6 minutes of his 13-minute news report. And he claims that Sony has lied to them, so now we need Nintendo to lie and we'll complete the whole trifecta. But this is not good news for Sony, especially, you know, this is just another example of Sony dropping the ball. And, you know, even Sony has agreed that they're dropping the ball on this. Beta News reported in an extraordinarily public statement of regret and despair over having to postpone the PS3 debut in Europe and Australia until March and to limit availability elsewhere to only 500,000 units come November. Sony Computer Entertainment President Ken Kutaragi is quoted by Reuters as having told reporters, quote, "If you asked me if Sony's strength in hardware was in decline right now, I guess I would have to say that might be true," unquote. So, yes. That was Ken Kutaragi saying, yeah, we suck. Ridge Racer. Giant enemy crabs. It looks like the giant enemy crabs have even overwhelmed Mr. Kutaragi. And essentially also what has come out is that on launch day, there will be 400,000 units of the PS3 in North America and 100,000 units in Japan. So Sony knows that they're going to have Japan in the bag. So they're only going to launch 100,000 units to the entire country of Japan on the day that it launches there. And then they're only going to launch 400,000 units here in the U.S. Now, as I've said before, and as other people have said, this is probably going to be a good move overall for Sony, even if it's a bad move according to us gamers. Sony is guaranteed that the PS3 will sell out on its launch day, period. It's going to sell out. No matter how many mistakes they make, no matter what they do, it's going to sell out. And that will make people want it more. You want what you can't have. And so, you know, and 400,000 is actually not as big of a deficit as some people would make it out to be. Kotaku, I think, actually had a little matrix of consoles and how many they had at launch. And it was kind of weird. It was like the Dreamcast had like 500,000 in the U.S. on launch day. And then the PS2, a year later, had 500,000 units in the U.S. on launch day, and the PS2 was considered a bad shortage. And so, you know, and I don't even think there were... I think there might have been 500,000 Xbox 360s on launch day in the U.S. But so it's not as bad of a number, really. I mean, it's no different than most other launches, especially by Sony and Microsoft. So... yeah, I don't think that's something to really, you know, scream full head off. I mean, it's still going to be insanely difficult to find one, and it's probably going to be harder to get one than an Xbox 360 launch, no matter how many times we sit here saying, oh, it's too expensive, oh, you know, people aren't going to buy it, there's going to be no games for it. I'm sorry, I know several people who are like, I don't want an Xbox 360, I want a Sony PlayStation 3 period paragraph. And they want to play the games they can play on their Xbox 360, but it's not a Sony. They got to have the Sony. So I'm going to open up our Skype line and our toll-free number so now people can call in. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156 is our toll-free number in the United States and I believe in Canada as well. Broodwitch asks, wasn't the memory card shortage worse than the actual console launch itself for the PlayStation 2? I would say yes, because I had a hard time trying to find a memory card for my PlayStation 2, even though I had an interesting launch story that... as I keep teasing, as we get closer to November, I will tell my PS2 launch story. It's great. And Broodwitch also says that they'll make more money in the price conversion if they hold it off for 6 months. So that's talking about the European launch. 2K Sports fan says that they will lose money if the PS3 is delayed in the U.S. He's getting a 360. that they're going to be sold out in the first day when it comes out. And that's the plan. They want it to sell out on the first day because they want it to look like it's hard to get. And they claim that they're still going to ship 1 million or 1.2 million units by the end of the year. And that's the number that Sony wants people to focus on, is that, you know, by the, you know, New Year's Day of 2007, they're going to have shipped 1 million units. So it'll be kind of like the Xbox 360. It got a little bit easier as the closer we got to Christmas to find one. It wasn't extremely easy. It's not like it is today where, you know, they're, you know, you can walk in any store and you see 50 premium systems sitting on the shelf. DC Nate says, people who call it a Sony annoy me, and that's what they call it, that they want their PlayStation or their Sony. So one other thing that's going on with Sony that's not all doom and gloom, but it is copying a lot of other people. Ars Technica has reported that in an interview with the Japanese magazine Nikkei BP, Izumi Kawanishi, the head of platform development at Sony Japan, has announced that a new game download service for the PlayStation Portable will be released in November. The service will make its debut in conjunction with the worldwide launch... worldwide. Hey, Europe, you're not a part of the world. The worldwide launch of the PlayStation 3. According to Kawanishi, the new service will work either through a PC with a broadband connection or through the PlayStation 3 itself. The user will be able to download games designed for the original PlayStation 1, which, according to the Sony head, works well. Quote, as for emulation power, there is no problem, unquote. Is that what he said? Although he said, some changes will have to be made to games because the PSP only has a single analog stick and fewer control buttons than the PS1. He did not mention which titles will be made available, probably the top titles. Hello, Microsoft. But he did mention how Amazon had a list of all books, indicating that Sony probably wants to put a large number of games on the service. In addition to PS1 games, Kawanishi added that the service will offer UMD movies for download. The UMD format, which was a failure, Sony is hoping that it might find new life with digital distribution. Well, then it's not a UMD if you're digitally distributing it. I'm sorry. The movies will be stored on the memory sticks as well as on the user's PC hard drive or on the hard drive of their PS3, and they will be packaged with DRM to prevent copying, and no burning capability is planned. And Sony apparently has done an online store. They did a music store in April for the PSP, only in the Japan market. Death God says, a PSP server, awesome. Oh, I have to use my PC or PS3. Kind of defeats the purpose of having a handheld. Seymour Booty says that he'll probably get a PlayStation 3 since he has a sweet 1080p TV, and it's the cheapest Blu-ray player. And 2K Sports Fan asks, isn't the online service for the PS3 called The Hub? I don't think they actually announced like what the real name of the service is. I mean, I remember The Hub, and I thought that might have been like the development name for it or something. GK128 says, woo, DRM movies, that worked so well for Amazon this week. Wait, no, it didn't. Oops. Tiger Claw asks, but isn't the PS3 not going to do 1080p? No, the PS3 is doing 1080p. You have to get the $600 PS3 to get the HDMI. Well, actually, you don't need an HDMI connection to get 1080p. You can get 1080p with component cables. So either model can get 1080p. But if you want the HDMI connection, you have to get the $600 PS3, and then you also have to buy your own HDMI cables, which I thought were expensive, but actually Funnydale on our forums posted some places where you can get like $6 HDMI cables. Now, I don't know what the quality is on them or anything, but that's much cheaper than the $60 cables I see at like Best Buy and stuff. Broodwitch asks, can Sony deliver the level of bandwidth for 400 megabyte files? Even Xbox Live Marketplace is limited to 50 megabytes games, and you are wrong! Xbox Live Marketplace is not limited to 50 megabyte games. That's only the Xbox Live Arcade titles, and that's a internal decision, not a technical decision. I have downloaded demos from Xbox Live Marketplace that are like 1.17 gigs. That was the Prey demo, and I think there are some other demos that greatly go past the 1 gig mark. So it is absolutely possible to download very large files over Xbox Live Marketplace just because they don't want the games for the Xbox Live Arcade to expand past 50 megabytes. That is not a technical limitation. That is a design limitation that they are doing for themselves. And Interlogic actually points out something that I'm just going to throw out here. It's not really a topic here for this show, but he says that DRM movies from Amazon don't work. However, DRM TV shows from Apple somehow get support. And I really haven't seen people complain that much about downloading TV shows from iTunes. You know, but everybody rags on Amazon, even though I know that there's people that don't want that still won't use iTunes. They don't seem as loud, or I just don't see them, or something like that. Hitstun says that Symphony of the Night is a CD game that will be on Xbox Live Arcade, but I don't know. They may be able to squeeze that into 50 megs. I don't know. I actually forgot to look when I had the CD out burning the music track. We played a music track from the Symphony of the Night PlayStation 1 game, but the assets might not be all that big, and with compression technology these days, they may be able to get it under 50 megs, but don't quote me on that. So we're going to go ahead and play our interview for this week. This was with Gridstream Productions. If you've never heard of Gridstream Productions, they are an internet radio station that brought... It's a music DJ station, so it's more of a music station. But they broadcast to the people of Anarchy Online. And we were talking with DJ Tarek, who was one of the top DJs, from what I understand, over there at Gridstream Productions. He hosts a show on Wednesday nights, live DJ spinning tunes for the people of Rubika. And he was gracious enough to have me on his on Gridstream Productions. I was there live on Sunday afternoon, I think. We did a little five-minute segment, and then he came over and did a segment for us. So this is DJ Tarek from DragonCon 2006. Here, you're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com. Bobby Blackwolf here at DragonCon 2006 for All Games Radio. Now, you know of All Games Radio. You know it's internet radio. It's internet radio about video games. It's independent internet radio about video games. Say that 10 times fast. I'll wait. But there are other internet radio stations out there, and some of them cater to just a single game. And I am here with DJ Tarek of Gridstream Productions. They broadcast on the internet, but primarily to the folks of Anarchy Online. Tarek, how are you doing today, and how have you been here at DragonCon?
Fantastic, man. We've had a great time. This is my second year here at DragonCon, and I'm having the time of my life, man. It's been probably the best vacation I've ever had. Lots of work, because we are here with Funcom and Anarchy Online, the game that we broadcast through, and it's been... You know, it's been kind of a cooperative effort that we're sharing the booth here. So it has been a lot of work. I'm very, very dead on my feet lately, but I'm all grins, man. It's been fantastic. Thank you.
So what? How did Gridstream Productions get started? And, you know, what is it really about, and what is its goal?
Gridstream Productions is internet radio, but it's an interesting type of internet radio, because what we do is we focus specifically on a particular game, Anarchy Online, and we do it in a format of immersive role play, whereas we actually play as DJs in nightclubs. There are nightclubs in the world of Anarchy Online, the world of Rubika, as it's called, and you go to these nightclubs around the world, you show up, you go into a dance club, and you tune in over internet radio to Gridstream Productions, and it's kind of like having a live DJ at the club, just kind of mixing it up, spinning tunes during a dance party. People show up, they have a good time, that kind of thing. Started 4.5, 5 years ago, yeah, close to 5 years ago now, as kind of a whim. Internet DJing, internet radio was just kind of getting off the ground at the time, and there was a lot of just, you know, single DJs that were doing their thing. Every once in a while, they just say, hey, everybody tune into my station, and it started to grow. It started to get pretty big, and I said, it was me and several other guys that were doing it on Anarchy Online, because it's just such a great cyberpunk environment. It's such a great place to have a nightclub that people are dancing and rocking out to. So there were a lot of people, we were starting to overlap with each other, and I said, well, you know what, why don't we just get together, organize a schedule, hell, even call ourselves an organization and give it a name. And everybody said, all right, what do we call it? I said, I like Gridstream. From there, it's history, man. We are now a 13 DJ organization and growing. We've got a 14th on the way, 15th and 16th pending, we're live every single night of the week, usually with multiple DJ shows that are live on gridstream.org.
Now, if people wanted to tune in to listen to this, do they have to have Anarchy Online, or can they tune into it? You know, would they be able to just tune into it if they were having a party at their house without Anarchy Online?
Yes, absolutely. And we do get a lot of players that are even playing other MMOs. Dread the thought. No, seriously. We have a lot of people who just tune in. It is a generalized internet radio, and we broadcast through Loud City. So, yeah, it's anybody can tune in at any time from anywhere.
Now, what type of music do you guys usually play on it?
Well, that's a good question. Everything. Almost everything. We actually we try to create a variety of genres. We try to keep it as widely varietous as possible. We've got, my focus is probably one of the widest varieties, because I do everything from pop to metal, and I just try to bounce back and forth around there between pop, R&B, and metal. We have DJs that focus on metal. We've got a few that are focusing on electronica, industrial, some on punk, some on funk. We've got an upcoming urban station. We've been going in and out of urban stations like crazy. It's been one of the least popular, amazingly enough. But I love it, so I'm not going to let it go. The only thing we're lacking right now, I think, is country and folk, which are in no demand at all, really, for a cyberpunk game. So, we also have some talk shows now and again. The talk shows usually relate to Anarchy Online or to just tech talk in general. Sometimes we'll deviate, go a little out of character, and, you know, do just a generalized talk show.
Now, you have a presence inside Anarchy Online. Can people talk to you within Anarchy Online, or, you know, how is the interaction? Is there interaction with the audience?
Yeah, everybody can talk to us. We have an interesting system called GridBot, which is a bot in Anarchy Online, and GridBot exists on both dimensions. There are two major dimensions, RK1, RK2, and GridBot exists on both simultaneously, where people can send a tell to GridBot, send a message to GridBot, and it'll display on our studio screen no matter which dimension they're on. We have a centralized screen that'll show what everybody's seeing. We also have a request line through GridBot that operates and interacts with our webpage so that we can also always keep track of requests when the request line is up. Sometimes we'll have Skype shows where people can Skype in and talk to the live DJ, or we'll have multiple DJs talking to each other to do a talk show, that kind of thing.
Now, you guys are here. You've been doing live stuff here from the Dragon Con show floor. What have you been kind of doing? I noticed you had some big interviews right before we came over here. So how has that been, and what have you guys been doing here?
Oh, it's fantastic, man. That was actually the first major interview that we had. We had Troma Video come by, and we had Red versus Blue. So those two were our big interviews that we had. We also have the Atlanta Roller Girls coming. What we've been doing up until this point has been just generally advertising Anarchy Online in the coolest way possible, we consider. We put Reach Retreat, one of the nightclubs inside Anarchy Online, up on a big screen monitor. And we invited people out there. And so people right now are out there showing up at Reach Retreat on RK1, and they're dancing at this dance floor to the music. And we're just rocking the music out. While, you know, whereas passerby are walking by and seeing this big screen of a virtual dance club and going, whoa, what is that, you know? So it's an extra little plug in our corner of the Funcom booth. It's really fun.
Do you guys do any other cons like this, or is Dragon Con the only one that you broadcast live from?
We've considered a lot of them, but Dragon Con is the one that we focused on, and we really started focusing on it 2 years ago. I wasn't here for that one, but there was so much fun that was had. I learned that I missed out, and I said, okay, we've got to make more of a presence here. But we haven't actually gone to any other convention since then, because we've been focusing our budget, limited as it is, to just kind of concentrate it at this one point in time, Dragon Con. And because it's always, I mean, it was so receptive, and it is growing, increasing. It doubles and triples in the receptive value of it, and the amount of people that are just so sucked into the possibility of this virtual existence and this virtual dance club that we've got going on with it. And the fact that of all the cons out there, Dragon Con, just for some odd reasons I can't even explain, seems the best place to do it. I guess maybe the fact that there is everything at Dragon Con. So many cons are focused on particular genres, particular formats, or demographics, and Dragon Con's all over the place. We're like, that's the best place for us. Wide variety, baby.
So what website can people go to check out more about Gridstream Productions?
Gridstream.org, and a lot of people mistake to the .com. It's not .com. www.gridstream.org. Head on out there, and you can join us up on the forums and ask whatever questions you want. Very, very highly active forums, and all of our DJs are very highly active on them as well. So you can log in at any time and ask us questions about anything.
And DJ Tarek, when are you on?
Currently, my schedule has floated before, but right now I'm locked in place on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time until about 11 or midnight Eastern Time, depending on my work day the next day, literally. I'll be live, and I'll usually play a mix of metal and electronica and pop.
Thank you very much for spending some time with us. DJ Tarek from Gridstream Productions, Anarchy Online, which is a free game to participate with Gridstream, right? It's free?
Yes, Anarchy Online is free. The basic game is free, unlimited. Think of it as a unlimited timed demo, but that offers just about everything the game has to offer. It's a full game, yeah.
Anarchy Online, check them out. Funcom, DJ Tarek, Gridstream.org. I'm Bobby Blackwell from Dragon Con 2006. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Sarge from Red vs. Blue.
And I'm Private Dexter Griff.
You're listening to Bobby Blue Bland on the Black Wolf Show. Or something like that. .com.
I think it's Bobby Badfinger.
Bobby Badfingers to the bone. These nuts.
Thank you very much. The guys from Red vs. Blue who were selling stuff at Dragon Con, I ran into them, and they were gracious enough to record a bumper for us. If you want to leave a bumper so I can get some more listener bumpers in here, just leave us a voicemail on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show. Say your name, your internet name, doesn't have to be a real name, and you know, some kind of funny quip, and you're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Some people we were talking about, you know, Gridstream Productions and stuff, and one of the questions that was asked that I didn't ask is that, you know, you still have to use, like, an external player to play their stream. It's not exactly integrated in Anarchy Online to play within Anarchy Online, but you can easily alt-tab out and manage your playlists that way. The only MMO that I can think of that actually had music that you could, like, stream inside is Second Life, which we're actually going to get to a little bit later. But Second Life, we actually had All Games Radio streaming in there. Now, granted, it's not exactly a game, but, you know, it's a virtual world. So it's possible, but, I mean, I haven't seen that many people, many games embrace streaming technology. You can fool some other games, like Civilization IV, according to Broodwitch, you can fool using a bookmark to play an internet stream. But that's the only one I can think of. So, like I said, Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype if you want to call in. 1-866-880-0156 is our toll-free number if you want to call in and talk about anything about in the gaming industry. You know, anything we've already talked about, other news that maybe we might have missed, whatever game you're playing right now. I am hoping to get back into playing some more games very soon, now that I've kind of gotten all my con stuff out of the way. And then chat.allgames.com if you want to come into our chat room and chat with us and give me some intelligent comments to read. So we've talked about all this doom and gloom for Sony and their worldwide launch, because you know what? Europe's not a part of the world anymore. They're the old world, and old world people don't play video games, apparently. According to Sony. That was not me. That was Sony. Gamma Sutra has reported that following those revelations about the PS3, an official statement from Nintendo of America has indicated that its plans to ship 6 million units of the Wii console worldwide before the end of the fiscal year, March 31st, 2007, are unchanged. However, the company has still not yet confirmed pricing or specific launch dates for the next-gen console. Nonetheless, additional details have emerged of the Wii launch, with a number of peripherals appearing on the website of North American retailer GameStop, which means that these are absolutely true. We're going to cover them anyway. Although the price and release date of the Wii console and controller is not likely to be revealed until press events on September 14th and 15th, later this week, the GameStop website lists a number of peripherals for release on November 1st. Included on the site is spotted by GameSpot is a Wii controller glove for $9.99, an HD premium component cable for $60, and S-Video premium AV cables for $39.99. Boy, do I hope that the Wii uses the exact same connectors that the GameCube did, so I wouldn't have to buy these again. As well as various storage cases and bags, two different SD memory sticks are listed, with the 512MB version priced at $40 and the 1GB version at $60. The items are all listed as third-party products from manufacturers such as Mad Catz, BDNA, and SanDisk, with no indication of the pricing or nature of any of Nintendo's own first-party products. So, Nintendo always has really charged out the nose for those cables, and it's kind of sad, because it's just they've got their proprietary end on the one end. However, in the past, the Super Nintendo, the N64, and the GameCube all used that same connector. So my S-Video cables will work on my Super Nintendo. The component video cables, it didn't have the audio on it. The component video cables used a different switch. So if they use that same port on the back of the GameCube, at least I won't have to rebuy the HD cables, because I've already bought the HD cables once for my GameCube. But I don't know if they're going to use the same port on the back, or the same type of connection on the back. 2K Sports Fan didn't get the joke. He said, according to Winning 11, 1 million people do play video games in Europe. I apologize for offending the good people of Europe that do play video games. It was not me. It was Sony that said that you guys don't play video games. I'm going to be digging myself out of that hole for the rest of the show, aren't I? 2K Sports Fan asks, what's the use of having cheap consoles if the cables are going to make it the same as expensive as other consoles, or something translated English with that? I don't know, but I do have a call, so maybe we can ask the caller this. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby, this is Seymour.
Hey, man, how what's doing? On your mind?
Not too much, man. I was wondering if you heard that the joystick editor, or I should say ex-editor, Robert Suma, lost his job over the Wii Hype fiasco.
Did he lose his job?
Yes, he did.
Oh, wow. Yeah, for people who don't know, because we weren't going to cover this because I didn't consider it news, apparently IBM's Broadway chips, which are used in the Wii, IBM gave them to Nintendo a while ago, and IBM made this big announcement about it, and Robert Suma, who's the editor one of the editors over Joystick, made this big hype thing and said, oh, at midnight tonight, we're going to tell everybody this big, huge news, and then that's all it was. So, yeah, I hadn't heard that.
It's actually the top story over Evil Avatar today.
So, any other reasons why, or, you know, any other statements about it? Because I hadn't heard about it.
Well, it just says here that they fired him for causing too much hype and getting everybody riled up about it.
Yeah, and it was, you know, I mean, and, you know, Joystick wasn't the only one that posted it. Kotaku posted it as well, but I think they actually said, now, this isn't a huge announcement, so don't stay up for it, but we're going to sell you something at midnight.
Yeah, it's I stayed up for it too. Yeah. I wasn't very surprised by it.
And this is why I sit here, and whenever people talk to me about, you know, like what I do and what we do here at All Games, is, you know, because people are talking about gaming journalism and gaming, you know, like the bloggers and stuff, Joystick and Kotaku, are they journalists or whatever? And I'll sit here and tell you right now, I'm not a journalist, I'm a commentator. And things like this show that maybe, you know, the blogosphere is not ready to be real journalists yet. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I guess I pretty much agree with you. I like Joystick, but man, that really kind of made me mad when they did that. I thought that'd be something really important that they had to say, but it turned out it really wasn't.
Yeah, and it was. And actually, DC Nate also points out that someone commented what the news was on that announcement post. So, you know, it wasn't even really new news if you read the comments section. So, and it even sounded like what they were saying was that this was new console news, as in, like, it was a fourth console entering the race or something. So, Joystick became the news. And that's the thing, is you shouldn't become the news. You should just report on it.
Well, from what I saw, like, in July, wasn't there a rumor going around that they already were making the chips?
Yeah, I reported on it.
Yeah, I thought you did.
Which is why the news was no surprise. I'm like, yeah, I knew they had the chips. Why is this big news?
Man, it's crazy.
In other news, Final Fantasy XIV is coming in the next few years.
Oh.
You heard it here first.
Oh, man, I just thought I'd you want to know about that. I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, thank you very much. Anything else on your mind? What have you been playing lately?
I'm still playing Saints Row.
How is that working out for you? How is the multiplayer in that?
Multiplayer sucks, man. It's laggy shit.
So it's no Chrome Hounds?
No. Okay. Not at all. Yeah. My single player's fun, though.
Cool. Thanks for your thoughts, man.
Yeah, man.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156 is our toll-free number. And apparently the story got 500 digs. I just didn't know where to look. Oops. So, yeah, so that's one of the things that I like about having live callers is if a story falls through the cracks, they run and go grab it and fix it. And then we get to report it. But I didn't think it was big news. So, I mean, I knew about, like, the story. I just didn't know that the guy got fired. Which, you know, I never like seeing people get fired, but, you know, I'd rather see them do a good job. I'm not a journalist, I'm a commentator. So, to talk about Second Life, which we brought up a little bit earlier, according to a Linen Labs announcement, on September 6th, they discovered evidence that an intruder was able to access the Second Life database through the web servers. The exploit was shut down on the afternoon of September 6th when it was discovered. Detailed information over the last 2 days confirmed that some of the unencrypted customer information stored in the database was compromised, potentially including Second Life account names, real-life names, and contact information, along with encrypted account passwords and encrypted payment information. No unencrypted credit card information is stored on the database in question. Unencrypted credit card information has not been compromised. As a precaution, they have invalidated all Second Life account passwords. In order to log into Second Life, you'll have to create a new password, access the login page at secondlife.com/password, click on the Forgot Password link, yada, yada, yada. Pray that you had a security question that you knew the answer to and actually put in the right answer, and then you can get back into Second Life, which is, you know, it's a free game to play unless you, like, own land and stuff, and then you may actually have to pay to keep that land going. And they're going to open their phone support back up tomorrow, Monday, September 11th. So, oops. Yeah, if you have Second Life, if you've ever kind of messed with Second Life, you probably got an email about this. I got the email a couple days ago. And so they're, you know, if you are into Second Life and we're trying to rebuild, we're going to be start trying to do some stuff with All Games Radio inside Second Life, which will be kind of neat. You want to check your password and make sure your information is all good and stuff. And now to some other game developer news. This one's a really weird one just because I'm old. And because I'm old, I was around, you know, in the days. And let me explain something to you, okay? Today we have fanboys. And, you know, like, the fanboys are console fanboys or, you know, company fanboys. You got your Microsoft fanboys. You got your Sony fanboys. You got your Nintendo fanboys. Okay? We didn't exactly have that as much when I was a lad. When I was a lad, at least my fanboyism, because I was a fanboy, and I hated everything that the other side did. And my fanboy loyalism was to Sierra. And this was back in the 80s. So this was back in the King's Quest, Police Quest, Space Quest, Leisure Suit Larry, those days. I hated Lucasfilm games. You could not, you know, Monkey Island was trash. Die, Monkey Island. You know, Tim Schafer, yeah, screw you. Give me Al Lowe, give me, you know, the two guys from Andromeda. No. So anyway, even though I have now grown older and I've grown out of my fanboyism, and I do believe that Psychonauts is a totally awesome game that should be backwards compatible on the Xbox 360, even though it hasn't been put on the list yet, Gamma Sutra has reported that following recent revelations broken via a detailed investor presentation made available by Vivendi Games, the publisher has officially announced it is partnering with Psychonauts developer Double Fine Productions to produce that studio's next title. The new game, which is unnamed, will be published by Vivendi's Sierra Entertainment label. An imprint the publisher is looking to build on when it refers to its all-star team of external developers, including Day One Studios, who did Fear, Starbreeze, who used to do Chronicles of Riddick, as well as Snowblind, Timegate, Mad Dog Software, and of course Double Fine. Founded by LucasArts veteran Tim Schafer, Double Fine completed the critically acclaimed Psychonauts for a 2005 release by Majesco after a lengthy interim period seeking a new publisher following Microsoft Game Studios' decision to cut the game from the publishing arrangement. Tim Schafer, who's the president and CEO of Double Fine Productions, was not kidding when he said, quote, "The Sierra team has been awesome to work with. Everyone we've met brings experience from a small developer background, so they know where we're coming from and what we have to do to make a great game. Combine a developer-friendly attitude, support for innovation, major publisher status, and worldwide scope, and you have a perfect match for Double Fine," unquote, yada, yada, yada. Well, I wanted the real story, so I went to DoubleFine.com, where Tim Schafer has a blog. You can click on news and you can get his blog, and he complains about his employees not drinking his coffee and, you know, stuff like that. This is what he said. He said, quote, "Is it strange that they are publishing the game under the brand name Sierra? Because back when we were making adventure games at LucasArts, Sierra Online was the name of our arch rivals, who we were much, much better than and superior to. I take issue with that. And yet we resented them because they made so much money despite our obvious superiority." No. But it does mean that Roberta Williams and Tim Schafer will be spending a lot of time drinking champagne in the hot tub together. That's just the way the game industry works. So it's interesting to see that he's taken it in stride. And it's just really weird to see, you know, Tim Schafer, who was one of the top people that people thought of with LucasArts publishing games under Sierra. It's kind of like playing Sonic on a Nintendo console. Oops. And then another game that's coming back, that's also from a LucasArts franchise, I believe. GameSpot has reported that just under a year ago, indie studio Telltale Games acquired the rights to make games based off of the underground comic Sam and Max Freestyle Police. The news was a godsend to many old-school gamers who loved the first game the comic inspired. 1993's Sam and Max hit the road and lamented the 2004 cancellation of the sequel. At E3 this year, Telltale announced it had partnered with PC game distribution service GameTap to co-publish a series of episodic adventure games featuring the wacky duo. The deal marked GameTap's first outing as a game publisher. Today, the two companies announced that Sam & Max Episode 1 Culture Shock, the first installment of the six-part Sam & Max Season 1, would be available on October 17th to GameTap subscribers. The episode will follow the dog and rabbit duo as they discover that a group of former child stars have become involved in nefarious deeds. Episode 1 Culture Shock will premiere on GameTap and will be available exclusively to its subscribers until November 1st. Then it will be offered on the official Sam & Max website for an unnamed fee. You will only be able to get this game right now via digital distribution, but I can see a Season 1 box set possibly hitting retailers when they finish the initial season run. It's kind of like a TV series. I'm a big fan of GameTap. Sure, there are probably some issues in there about, you know, some of the emulation and some things that don't work, but I have been happy with GameTap, and I will let you guys know how Sam & Max is. GameTap.com if you want to look into getting on GameTap. This is a big move for them because a lot of people were, you know, kind of saying that they didn't like GameTap because all it had were old games, which is, you know, pretty true. I mean, there's not that many games that are older than a couple years on it, but they do have some more recent games. But if you're into the nostalgia factor and, you know, just want to go and run and play a quick game, you know, instead of buying Galaga on Xbox Live, I can play it multiplayer on GameTap. It's great. But it is only available in the United States. It's not available anywhere else other than the United States. So you'll have people outside the U.S. are going to have to wait till November 1st. Fifth Dream says that Bobby pretends not to be a fanboy, but his Nintendo fanboyism is legendary. Come on, Fifth Dream. You know that the Virtual Boy was the greatest system ever. Admit it, Fifth Dream. You do. Death God says about... you know, why GameTap probably won't do good until they seriously crack down on emulators. It'll be hard to convince people to stop using them probably outside of GameTap, because GameTap basically is a bunch of emulators. And, you know, a lot of people, when they talk about GameTap, they're like, well, I already have all of these ROMs. You know, why should I pay $10 a month to play the ROMs I already have? And 2K Sports Fan, trying to get on my good side, says the Virtual Boy was better than the 3DO. I don't know about that. I still want a 3DO. I want to get all these old game systems. So that's all for this week. All Games Interactive with Scott Rubin and Lawrence Young is live each and every weeknight from the Arena Interactive Lounge in West Los Angeles at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, right here on All Games Radio at allgames.com. We will be back again next Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on All Games Radio. So catch us live and interact with the show directly. Feel free to leave a voicemail with us on any topic or just leave a bumper for use in our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show. You can also email your thoughts and opinions to me at blackwolf@allgames.com. You can join our official forums at allgames.com to take part in our community. Have I mentioned we're at allgames.com yet? Allgames.com. So we wouldn't be able to make the live show work here on allgames.com without the help of our wonderful chatters. DC Nate Hendricks, Teddykin, who's a Falcons fan, go us, Vic didn't get injured, Burning Paper Sun, Broodwitch, Drunk Pandas, Fifth Dream, GK128, Oshi, Rare, Reffy, Sageclaw, Seymour Booty, thanks for calling, Toshin, 2K Sports Fan, Chrisville1724, Cita Bria, Crispy, Death God, Ed Synth, Hitstun, Interlogic, J. Irvs, Justin Sane, Kazan, Mecha, Sato, Stone Raider, Sub-Z, TDB30, THK, Tigerclaw, Twinson, VXJasonXV, Wee Man, and Will Khan. So, once again, thanks for tuning in. If you are listening live, episode 109 of the Video Game Show is coming up next here on All Games Radio. But I want to thank you all who are listening to the podcast. Hope you like what you heard if you came to us from Dragon Con. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.
allgames.com.